Introducing the Heart Conviction Podcast with me as your host, Nina Palmer. Spirit-filled discussions, stories, and opinions from my time as a bondsman, pastor, and inmate on reality TV. Unapologetic conversations that will push boundaries, heal hearts, and hopefully add humor where it's been needed. We'll be facing hard truth topics with co-hosts and guests from the best to those society has outcast. Brace yourself because this isn't for the faint-hearted, but crafted to ignite, disrupt, and encourage. No topics too sacred, no heart too guarded. On church, relationships, society, pop culture, sexuality, our hearts, inner freedom, the fight between good and evil, travel, missions, incarceration, reform, love, hate, and the messy journey of pushing past spiritual comfort norms. It's hard being a human, and we're going to learn, grow, crack up, and hopefully renew our minds all at the same time. This might just make you question everything. Get ready for the unthinkable. This will not be your average podcast. Hard conversations start Monday, September 8th for the Heart Conviction Podcast, a Hopecast Network production.
Hey everybody, this is Ashley Arpel Steinbach, host of Locks of Laughs, Work Advice for Me, and of course, Movie Torture, aka I am the queen of the Hopecast Network. Or if you ask me, the queen bee. I hope you're all enjoying the amazing shows we have here on the Hopecast Network, and if you are, please don't forget to like and subscribe everywhere that you listen to or watch our podcasts.
This is the Hopecast Network. Stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Reality Redux. We are super stoked tonight because this week featured the premiere of season 4 of Fox's number one game show, America's favorite game show, The Floor. We are super excited to be joined by two of my personally favorite contestants from last night. Unfortunately, both of them got the boot, and we're going to have to talk about how they feel. But I'm pretty excited to bring it back and recap this season with everyone. So please tune in Thursday nights after the show airs to get the inside scoop. I'm Angie, this is Brad, and we're joined by Justin and Kwame. Welcome, guys. Thanks for joining us today.
I think she's saying we're joined by Kwame and Justin.
I did. Did that not come out?
Is he dead?
You were a little delayed, but it's okay, Angie. It's okay. Oh, how you doing, Angie? Are you doing good?
Well, I'm delayed, clearly. I must have some issues. I'm going to work on that. But yeah, it says I'm 70% uploaded. We're having some issues here. I'm doing
it's
fine. I'm doing fine. I'm pretty excited to relive this floor experience vis-a-vis the season 4 contestants. I was telling Kwame off air that it's a deja vu moment, and I'm sure that it feels that way to them, watching themselves, seeing how production put together the narrative. And I'm really curious to dig in tonight to recap the duels, but also find out how do Justin and Kwame feel about the way they were presented and the way the show looks like it's going to be rolling forward. So I appreciate your attendance, guys. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us here, Angie.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet. Now you guys, you, Justin had a little more screen time and Kwame was our last duel, but, Brad, do you think we should just start recapping from the jump and we'll get through a few of those early duels and then.
But I want to say, Angie, it's always good to be in the chat with you. I enjoy it. It's good to see you again. I feel like we haven't seen each other. This is our first episode of the Floor Recap since last season. So I've been jazzed. And if you're a new listener, we want to thank you for listening. The Hopecast Network has provided this, made it possible. And I've never been on the floor, but I'm a fan of the floor. So I'm going to give you a fan perspective tonight, along with Angie, who has been on the floor. Angie, are you considered a relic at this point because you've been on season 2 and we are now on season 4?
A relic. I don't know, man. I've never been called a relic. I'm going to take that with all the love it was intended.
You know I love you.
I think I'll call myself an OG at this point.
OG, I like that.
I like that a little better. I don't
Angie,
know.
You're
I mean,
an absolute icon. You could never be a relic.
Justin is so sweet. You know, I still get recognized every once in a while at the grocery store, so I'm just going to call that a win.
But Angie, would you recognize me if I run into you at a grocery store in St. Louis?
I don't know if I would, because it'd be so out of context. I mean, otherwise, you know, I am coming up.
I would be hurt if you didn't know me. As much as we podcast together and you wouldn't know me. Fair.
Well, you have facial hair now. You've like started growing out the beard.
I had facial hair last time, right?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to find a screenshot. Justin. No, we're going to go back.
Justin, she's...
You know what? I keep receipts. I keep receipts, Brad. I do, you know too. That. I'm going to look at the tape and see. But I have a feeling you weren't quite as bushy then. But no, I got you now.
Maybe not.
I recognize Justin and Kwame. They've got these megawatt smiles.
They do.
The Redditors love them. I was just teasing Justin about his fan base on Reddit. I'm sure there's lots. You're 25, yep. Right?
I'm 25. This might be the first time I've seen people on Reddit be positive towards someone. So I honestly grateful for them for that.
See,
congrats, man.
Thank you, Kwame. Thank you.
Yes, all the Redditors are like Team Justin. You know, justice for Justin. Justin got schooled.
For good reason. You know. He's a solid dude. He's solid.
Yeah, people went. I think you had good main character energy. It was just cut a little short. But also, before we get started, I know this is totally random, and Brad, I didn't tell you I was going to do this, but I just had to share something. I'm having a real struggle tonight, and it has nothing to do with the floor, but maybe I am a relic, because after my COVID and flu shots today, I treated myself to some of these old-fashioned snow caps. So for folks listening and not watching on YouTube, these are the candy of my relic youth. These are the candy of the movie theater. These are the candy you sprinkle on the popcorn. And I'm telling you right now, they've got this press here instruction to open the box. And I have been pressing all over this cardboard for like the last 30 minutes. And I can't open my freaking snow caps. And this is kind of... like bumming out in a major way. And I was just commiserating with Kwame earlier. And I'm just, you know, if anybody's watching, who makes snow caps now? I don't know. I'm going to find out. But, you know, let's rethink your packaging. Because the people who loved this when we were kids no longer have the dexterity to open them at age 15.
We've all been there, Andy. We've all been there.
The struggle's real. But I'll tell you, you know what? There were some struggles last night on the floor. And that's good. It's important to make it competitive. It's important to make it not so easy, because nobody likes to watch people skate through stuff. So, of course, we're creating drama, and we've got some villains emerging already, some self-proclaimed, some maybe under the radar. But I have to say, to kick it off, the first duel, pretty charming and relatively vanilla. Nobody really came at each other. Nobody threw, you know, insults or side eyes or anything like that. At least that's what the viewer saw. The season 4 kicked off with Charlie and Rick, right?
It was Texas,
Texas versus Wisconsin. Now, they seemed like super polite folks. Was that your impression of them in the during the filming stages? Is that pretty accurate?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. They were both great, great guys. Charlie was actually the last guy to make it to Ireland to film. He got there a day after everybody, so he came in late. We were all welcoming him. And then Rick was just the nicest guy. I have not met anyone friendlier than Rick. He was super outgoing. So, honestly, great representation for both of them.
Very cool. And, well, Rick being from Wisconsin, I'm like, the dude's got the edge on fried foods here, right? I mean,
he really did.
It's the land of the cheese curd. Am I right, Brad?
Yes. I'm in Minnesota, guys, and they do have good cheese curds. But I also want to say... friend of the show, Mike, is in the chat from season 3.
Oh, hey, Mike.
Yeah, he's in the chat. He's a legend. He's a legend.
He was one of our picks to win it last season.
He's a legend of our show, too. He's been on the recap show at least three times. He's a three-timer.
Mike, what a key.
Yeah, so Justin and Kwame, you need to be on at least three more times to beat Mike in the recap of the floor.
Yeah,
you,
and then you get
you
a time
when you come on, and I'm here.
He said he got recognized at an Olive Garden last week, which Olive Garden now has the endless pasta, which I'm kind of excited about, but I don't have one, but an hour, it's an hour for me, so I got to go an hour if I want to eat Olive Garden. I don't know if it's worth that. I don't know, Kwame. Man, I don't know. My wife might be like, you're taking me to the Olive Garden. I don't know. I don't know.
It's all you can eat.
Don't do it for your anniversary, but just a date night.
Yeah, maybe. But back to the floor. I don't want to keep it on the floor, but
no, but I'm glad that Mike's joining in. He's a super sweetheart.
You are.
We love him. He's a friend of the show. And as always, you know, folks who love to come on and just talk about the show, they're always welcome to come back. It's really cool to get their perspective, especially for, you know, Justin and Kwame, who are really going to be able to see this play out for the first time. Because assuming nobody broke their NDA, they don't know what's coming. So they will have some interesting perspectives going forward, and you're always welcome back to share them. So,
Angie, can we have Mike back on the show this season? I'm requesting that.
I don't know why not. You know, he's listening.
Mike,
respond.
We want you to come back on the show this season and help us.
I think
us.
It's always good.
Yeah.
Always good to get a perspective from another season to see how they're different.
For sure.
I've got to say the fried foods was interesting. I didn't know how they were going to play that off. Nearly every fried nugget looks like a nugget, but they were able to kind of put them in different context. I made a note that the one I thought was weird, I knew it was wasabi peas because I have a creepy addiction to wasabi peas.
I had no idea on that one.
I'm with you.
They looked humongous. They looked humongous. I could see why he said okra. It looked very okra-esque to me. So I'm gonna give him credit for a good wrong guess. But yeah, that went pretty well. And then we get to meet Marcia, who I'm telling you right now, she's getting the editor's cut in a way that I'm like, how long does Marcia last? Because that girl's
That's a great question.
Hair. She's got.
She is really cool though. She's like, she was cool on the floor. I had a great time with her. Because she was right next to me after she took up all that real estate. And she was just fine.
Wait. She seems like a doll. I mean, she's got great energy, great sense of style. You know, Rob complimented her on her fit. But I think it'll be interesting. Justin, I got to know, we're not at the Sandy Bullock thing yet, but you watched it last night. And I'm sure you saw the clip and side cut from Marcia kind of throwing you under the bus. Like you said, oh, I love Sandy Bullock. She's great. And then they pull to her and she's like, yeah, I know Sandy Bullock. Yeah, like you do. Wink, wink. And I was
she called it straight away. But you know why, though? It's because right after I won my first duel and I had inherited Sandy Bullock movies, we cut to break and went and took a break. And so I was talking to her. And we were like razzing each other, being like, oh, am I going to challenge you? Are you going to challenge me? And I think she could tell by reading me talking behind the scenes that she knew I did not know anything about Sandra Bullock.
Well, they caught her on mic. You know, as you guys both know, it's a hot mic the whole time. And anything you say can and will be used against you. So I thought that was pretty fun, the way she's like, wink, wink. And I was like, oh, I wonder what Justin thought.
Angie, are we already at the second duel at this point? We
are right now.
Okay,
yeah,
we haven't addressed the biggest thing in there. I feel like we've done a lot of these recaps. We've probably done 20 at this point. We have pitched the Steal the Category plan.
Yes, I was gonna let you lead with that because I didn't want to come off like – I had thought that was a great idea a long time ago.
I pitched it on this show. I'm like, you should be able to jack a you should be able to jack it from someone else.
Yep.
So I'm confused. Justin and Kwame, help Angie and I out here, because if I win 3 straight, do I get the time boost and the switch, or do I get to choose switch or time boost? Because I was having a conversation with my dad about this today, trying to figure out what is the real thing. What is it?
No, you're exactly right. You don't get both. You get to pick one or the other. So you can either get the 5-second time boost or the steal a category. And I don't know how it'll play out, but I think the steal a category is so much more powerful than a 5-second time boost.
Definitely.
I think so.
Infinitely.
Yeah, with some of those categories, 100%.
Well, and speaking from somebody who got the time boost, and I believe used it to my advantage, looking back, the steal a category would have made gameplay so much more interesting across the board.
So which one would you have done then, Angie?
Dude, Kwame, I know all of them. I mean, come on, man. There's not a weak link in the house.
She would have done steal the category if she's smart.
Yeah.
Yes. 100%.
Probably. Although at that point I had my own category, so I didn't. There was no reason for me to give up my home base. But had I inherited something that I felt less committed to and less prepared for, I absolutely. I mean, some of the categories I pitched for my show were like college mascots. That's one that I pitched initially, so I would have taken that on. But I liked what I had. Had I inherited something rough, I would have been thrilled to have the option to give it up, though. I think that's great. The other thing, Brad, and I'm telling you, you're going to hear it here again. Brad and I talked last time about this. They need to open the floor literally as like trapdoors up on the actual
Even
stage,
more pressure, huh?
On the stage.
That's what the game needs.
And I'm telling you, I love what Rob said this week in a side note. He said next season he wants to attach heart rate monitors to contestants. And I think it'd be awesome to project next to the timer their current heart rate and then have a floor drop for the person who loses the competition. I think we've got to add like a little bit more intensity, but Brad, I think we need to put it in the universe.
I really like that, Angie. They need to make you a producer.
Thank you.
You get it.
Justin, here's the thing, man. If you go back and you listen to all our recaps, I have been pitching for a solid year trap doors. Mm-hmm. Like, I think if Kwame loses, boom, trap door, Kwame's gone. And he's like, ah, you can even do sound effects. Kwame, that would be fun, right? I would like to see that.
Yes.
Justin.
Nobody wants to hear this voice yell.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that. America does not want to hear this voice.
It's so much more entertaining. Or maybe you get sucked up. Boom, boom. You're out of the studio.
I think you're sucked up.
We talked for Mike, who's going to come back on the show. Mike is a like Guinness Book record holder in arcade claw game.
Whoa,
and we said they should have like a giant claw that comes and grabs contestants. Just some physical element. Just add little things in.
I really think that would make the show blow up. Give it a little Japanese game show element.
Right? But just enough.
But here's the thing, Justin. Here's the thing, man. I like you. You're a really nice guy. And I really rooted for you last night. I was like, man, you go after, you're like, how could this guy go after Utah? We had a pact. We were supposed to be bros to the end. But the floor is doing everything in its power. Angie, am I wrong in saying this? They are trying to get people to stay up there. They are begging you. They're like, we're going to give you 40 G's tonight if you just play a couple rounds, because everyone is playing. I want to call it, Angie, I know he's your friend of the show. I want to call it the Keelan factor, because people want us to play defense instead of offense. Brian played offense last season. He's like, I don't care. I'm going to duel everyone. You can beat me. I'll go home. I don't care. The Keelan factor is I'm going to stand in my category and hope nobody challenges the periodic table.
Yep, periodic table. I'll tell you this.
We need to see more offense, Angie. We got to see more offense.
We do. And I have a perfect solution for that. And it's not even going to cost the network more money, even though they're throwing more money, right? They've got this $40,000 on episode one. They've got this golden square, which they haven't quite told us how much that's going to be yet. But here's what you do. You make the randomizer attack everyone every duel. In other words, the whole reason people go back to the floor is because they're safe from the randomizer till the end. You just keep that randomizer, equal opportunity randomizer, for the entire game, every episode, and people will start staying up there, because the only reason they go back is because of an assumption of safety. And I think you start to eliminate that and people won't think it's the smartest move strategically anymore. That's my thought. We'll see what happens.
Well, Mike has a question.
Exactly right, Andy.
Mike has a question. At the end of the episode, they tease someone doing 7 duels in a row, which brings up the question, can you steal a category if you're also holding a time boost?
Yes, they did tell us that you can hold on to your time boost and also earn a steal a category.
Interesting.
What is so that? Two independent things.
What am I hearing, Angie? Do you hear that reverb?
I heard it. It sounded like a little cricket.
I think it's coming from you. Or is it me?
I don't know. I'll check my echo cancellation. But Yeah, Justin, do you think having everybody equally randomized would have changed your decision making of going back?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly the move that needs to happen to avoid the defense, because right now, especially in the first episode, the defense is the right move because you only get the categories that are around you 10 minutes before you film. So you don't have any time to study what's around you. So everyone thinks, okay, if I go back to the floor, most likely there's still 95 people left. It's not going to get randomized next to me. I can then go back and study after this episode and be more prepared for that around me. And that was my thoughts too, right? After I won my first duel, I said, I have three squares. Most people, if I can just get three out of four of these next four duels to go back to the floor and play defense, I'll be guaranteed to at least split the money. And obviously it didn't work out that way, but I think if you make it so where if you do go back to the floor, you can still get randomized, that fully incentivizes people to stay up and keep playing aggressive.
Okay, Justin, you bring up a good point, but nobody stayed up last night to play. Did we have anybody play more than one duel?
One person. That was Frank.
Mr. Frank
stayed up one time.
That's the guy that was the tailor that liked all that was the bow tie.
Bow tie.
Okay.
Bow tie.
So Justin, I've been thinking about you all day, and
I love it.
I know. But here's the thing. I watch this with my 12-year-old Max. That's my son. Mm-hmm. We're watching this. You have a 1 in 8 chance of winning $40,000 because there's 8 duels. You have mm-hmm. a 1 in 99 or 1 in 100 chance of winning $250,000. I thought you were very smart, and you are smart, but I don't understand why you went back to the floor. If you would have just played one more duel, I feel like you could have walked away with $40,000. Kwame, am I wrong in saying that? Because I like Justin. He is so nice. Like, I do not want to come on here, and I'm like, we've had guests on here, and I've been pretty brutal to him, right? Right, Angie?
Yeah.
I'm not going to be brutal to Justin because he's super nice and I like him. He's likable. But do you think what I'm thinking, like you had a better shot at the 40 G's than the 250 G's and you're a smart dude, although you didn't know Sandra Bullock. But I still think you just sit there and you play two more duels. You have the switch. You can get rid of Sandra Bullock.
Yeah. Right. Well, so if I could go back – knowing now that the randomizer would land on Luke, which is crazy. Well, when we get to that, there's a story. But knowing now that that happens, I would absolutely stay up there. I would try to win sitcom families. And then I would try to – sorry, Kwame. I would try to beat Kwame in stamps. And then I really wanted Roman numerals. So I would have switched Sandra Bullock for Roman numerals and tried to like assert my dominance. But my thought process in the moment was, if I face Marcia in sitcom families, I have a 50% chance of winning. Right now, I'm touching 6 squares, and there's, 93 other squares available that it can land on. I thought that most people would pass and go back to the floor, so my 3 squares would hold the lead for most of the episode. And I liked my odds of trying to hide and hold my 3 squares and go back and study Sandra Bullock movies better than taking the 50-50 shot. But now knowing the odds, I for sure would take the 50-50 shot.
When that guy, what's his name, the attorney, when he challenged you,
Luke.
When he got it, you knew he was coming after you, right? Like, you're like, oh, crap, this is all now. So,
yeah, Luke and I had talked. We were good friends going into the day just because we had hung out all day. And he was telling me, he's like, Justin, you are so safe. If we end up next to each other, I don't know anything about sports. Like, the only category I want to go after is Sandra Bullock movies.
So
I was like, dude, that's awesome. Like, I hope that works out for you.
I
inherit Sandra Bullock movies. So I'm literally thinking in my head, anyone but Luke. Anyone but Luke, I have a chance. And you can see when it randomizes on him, I'm facing the other way, and I don't see the randomizer at all. I'm like, who'd it land on? Where'd it go? I turn around, and I immediately go, no! Because I saw it was on Luke, and I knew I was cooked at that point. It was done.
But before, let's wait. Angie, let's get to him in a second, but we got a few more duels, because there's a couple duels I want to unpack. before we get to Kwame and Justin. What's the next duel? And Mike brings up a good point in the chat. He says, it's a smart mathematical decision to win the least amount possible because then there are less squares next to you that could be randomized.
And that's true.
It seemed like a smart decision.
That's true.
From floor players, I'm not a floor player. So for me, I was fussing at Justin last night going, oh my gosh. But I was more mad. I want to get to her. I was more mad at the girl who beat, oh man, it was near the end. She was up there. I can't remember her category, Angie.
The villain?
Huh?
The one who did villains?
No, I want to talk about her. But there's another one.
Celebrity couples? Front. Was it celebrity couples girl?
Yeah, celebrity couples girl. Thank you, Kwame. Mm-hmm. She could have stayed on and played one more duel and then connected to Justin and won it. You know what I'm saying? She actually made a worse call than you, Justin, because she had it in her hand, right? She could have moved to you and then said, and if she'd have beat you, she would have had the boost or whatever she wanted. So there was that opportunity, but she didn't take it up. But Angie,
I think, we'll progress through a few so we can get more to the meteor duels. I would say this just to double back on Mike's point in the chat too, and Justin's point. I think when you're there and the landscape is shifting constantly and you don't have time to pause and reassess and re-strategize, you're kind of just going on gut and instinct and anxiety and whatever's fueling you in the moment. Strategically speaking, you want to limit your vulnerability. And that's why people go back. And that's why people don't want to have a lot of territory. They don't want to be a target. But I think the game might be changing with these little incentives that they're creating right now. And I'm interested to see how it plays out. I know the next bout, the duel, we didn't get too much. We talked about Marcia and Elizabeth. That was the pet supplies duel. It was basically name the thing the animal is wearing. That's fine. It was a little tricky for some of the animals, but I think most people didn't struggle terribly with that. Then we get to Laura and Frank, and this is the first time we see Frank, who has a mini villain arc in this one because of the sense of betrayal that the brothers of Utah felt. But essentially, Laura takes him on. She gets randomized, and she picks him. He has formal wear, hence the bow tie. I got to be honest, I think this was another duel where, my floor friends and I watched live last night, and we were live WhatsApp chatting in real time our feelings. And it was definitely a situation where the judging was a little we thought that not accepting wingtips was weird, that they made the guy go for dress shoes. And I'm like, dude. What was the name of the fascinator, the fancy hat the guy was wearing? That was from left field.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that one either.
I would have passed that one hard. But in general, I mean, I think, it's a case of, I think somebody on Reddit may have mentioned forest for the trees concept, that there's so many things on those images. You're not sure where you're supposed to focus at certain times. And I think
one on the dress shirt, he was holding where the cufflink goes.
Yeah.
But it was dress shirt. That one, I'm like, that's an interesting thing.
100%. You're right. You think they're giving you an indicator. And I would think we'd already seen cufflinks, which would mean that's not there. But he said French cuff, which is totally what I thought it was. And then it ended up being dress shirt. So there were some, little hiccups there. But it is the way the floor is. And I think by season four, Justin, you mentioned watching previous seasons. So did Kwame. I think you have to be prepared for that and to know that not everything is going to be absolutely concrete in those images, and you just have to be naming everything you see. But I thought they did a good job as best they could. And of course, Frank wins, and he's the first one to stay up there, not for long, because I think karma is how I look at it. When he betrayed, when Frank, the bow-tied villain, and you know what? It reminded me. Do you remember those old, you probably don't remember those cartoons where it was like that the guy who's like the robber baron, he's always wearing the mustache and then the bow tie, and he's like,
They're younger than us, Angie. I don't know, man. They may not.
I'm saying Frank reminded me of that dude. And then when I found out he threw my boy Justin under the bus, I was like, that ain't right. No, come on,
Thank
Justin.
Thank you, Angie. You get it.
Just saying, you're not supposed to have an alliance out there, but when you're putting, two state people together, you have to assume there's going to be some fraternity. Anyway, that was a tough battle.
Can I ask this to Kwame and Justin? What is the point of the states? I don't understand it. I think it's kind of stupid, but it's definitely made me excited to watch it. Because, I mean, I like it, but I don't know if it doesn't matter if Justin wins it and he's from Utah or Justin's from Rhode Island. Justin's just going to win, or Kwame. I don't care where you live. You're just entertaining to watch. Like, I don't, what's the stakes? Explain this to me, guys. I don't understand it.
Justin, I don't know about you, but I didn't find out it was Battle of the States until I got to our location. Like, I didn't know that was a thing until I got there. And now when I'm seeing previews on, like, Hell's Kitchen and other things, is Battle of the States. And so I'm like, oh, so this is just the theme of the network for now. But I personally didn't know until I got there.
I saw that Hell's Kitchen thing too. And I was like, what's with the state stuff? And somebody told me that there's going to be a new Hunger Games movie in the franchise called like State of Something. And they think they're just riffing on the state theme. But Brad, I think it's just a way to keep things fresh. I don't know if there's anything else to it. It's not like you guys like get some kind of special, I don't know, like congressional medal for your state.
No, I don't even know. The winning state, Rob Lowe shows up with a key to the state. He presents it to the mayor. It's like the governor. He's like, here, Justin won from Utah. Take the key to the state.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, this is cool.
And like in Salt Lake City, there'll be like Justin Call Boulevard or something.
Give me a street name.
For like,
No, I mean, at the end of the day, like, it's all just a big marketing ploy. I think it's to try to make it so each season doesn't start to feel like the exact same. Like, if you can just have something slightly different, it'll differentiate it enough. At least I think that's the hope.
Yeah.
I don't know how well it'll go over because they really tried to just shoehorn us into the states. Like, I know a lot of people lived in their states for like a year and they were from that state to make it work. So
did you drive through Nebraska? Well, guess what? You're our Nebraska state.
Yeah, right?
Kwame.
You're a corn husker through and through. Kwame, you drove through.
Kwame, what state are you in? What state are you?
So I truly got Arizona, and I'm born and raised in Arizona. So
okay.
Like, that's me.
You're not but like, you're just Dorian, you didn't stop at the Grand Canyon for an hour, and they're like, "Hey, man, we're gonna make you Arizona."
Yeah.
No, like I haven't hiked Grand Canyon, but like I've been there multiple times. That's one of the places. Like when anybody comes to visit Arizona, like you got to do that.
Yes.
You got to do like Flagstaff. So no, I'm through and through. But. Justin's 100% right. There's certain people that just moved there, not their hometown. Like, they've been there for maybe a year, and that's their home for the show.
Justin, are you from Utah?
I am from Utah. So, yeah, Kwame and I are both the actual states people.
Here. Now, here's what I think would be cool, and I'm pitching this again, Brad, and, you know, in my proxy executive producer role, I'm going to say that they should have been teamed. And that
Angie, that makes way more sense.
They should work in tandem as a team to capture as many squares as possible. And to add a team element, whether they've chosen each other or not, isn't the point. They're paired together. They have to team up and they have to survive. If one gets eliminated, they both go and they have to work at capturing the floor and then they split an even larger prize.
No, I got even better. They get like, let's say, what's the other Utah guy, Justin? Is it Kevin? What's his name?
Frank.
Let's say Justin and Frank are paired. Frank loses. Frank stays on the floor, but Justin is penalized an extra 5 seconds. So he starts at 35.
Whoa.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
That makes it interesting now because Justin, to keep Frank alive, and once Justin wins, he gets that 40 back, and he's back to square one again. But
and you can trade time with your teammate.
Yeah.
So like, if my guy's low on time, I can trade.
Wow, that would make such an interesting
Because then you got to rely on Frank, right? So you got to be like, Frank, you're my boy. I need you studying when y'all are, like, off air and you're sitting in the room.
Studying.
Yeah,
yes,
you could work together. I think that would make way more. It would be way more fun, and it's challenging because now you are telling Frank you need to do this. You got to stay up there because his time boost is your time boost.
Yep, And if I had been my partner,
100%. You know what? I need to email Rob Lowe and let him know this is what we got to do.
Right. We're just going to keep these going. I just like putting them in the
air. That is really, really good.
Because one season, two seasons, three seasons from now, they may pull some of these tricks out and we can be like, remember when we said it on our pod mm-hmm. and you were listening. Okay. So
they already stole my still a topic. So
I need a redemption show. Like, can we get a redemption show?
I have heard tell that there has been musings about things like that. I try not to think too hard. I don't want to get disappointed, but boy, sure wouldn't that be fun. I think that would be a lot of fun. I'm going to say this for a minute. We had Hall of Fame come up, Sports of the Jam. That was your category, Justin, from the beginning. Yeah,
that was my category from the beginning.
I love that category. Kind of dude.
Do you love sports?
Yeah, I do love sports. So I am the oldest of six kids. I have three younger brothers, and they have always been more athletic than me. But we've always been incredibly competitive. And so my younger brothers played on all of my sports teams growing up. We played every sport, and they beat me in everything. But I always knew, like, the logic of the sports. And so I talked a lot about that in my interview, and I think that's how I ended up with the category. So mm-hmm. I was worried when they gave it to me because I didn't know a lot of like the old heads. But I knew a lot of the people that I grew up watching.
You did good. You did good, man.
Honestly, I think you knew better than Frank than to yell out random Asian surnames when Michelle Kwan came up. And yes, I am going to call Frank out on that. If we know anything and if we've learned anything from the floor, it's that you better know your female athletes and you better know your minority celebrities. And he failed on both when he starts yelling out, chin, ho, pass. And I'm like, oh, I cringe for him. I was like, bro, just pass. Like, don't even try. Am I wrong? Did anybody else have a moment on the floor to deal react?
You know my philosophy. You pass immediately if you do not have a clue.
Yeah.
Because you're costing yourself now from 3 to 5 to 6 seconds, which is stupid.
Yep. Did you guys react to that in real time? Do you remember it? Kwame's laughing. Did you?
I'm laughing because my experience was not yours. I was playing along with them. I wasn't listening to that specific.
Dude, you like gotta Kwame, watch that
man.
Again.
He's got a good personality, man.
Yeah, Kwame, you gotta watch that again. Just YouTube it in slow motion.
Yeah, no.
That's gonna make some kind of loop on TikTok. I'm just waiting for the TikTok. Chin, ho, chang, wang. Like, I mean, the guy was listing them all. And I'm like, it's Michelle Kwan, dude. Yeah. Come on. I don't know. That was a little
wrong. Is it even politically correct anymore? Can you do that?
I don't know who did it. Man.
I fear no.
I don't know.
So you cannot.
This is a legit question, Justin and Kwame. Like, I live in Minnesota, and our grocery store here has a sign, because I love Asian food. And our grocery store has a sign that says Oriental food. Is that even acceptable anymore? Is that canceled?
Oriental is for rugs. And
we have Oriental in our grocery store. It says Oriental food, and I'm always like, "Wow, man, I haven't said Oriental since the '80s."
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. I always felt like that was something I just don't say.
Yeah,
like a white male from Utah, I don't say it.
Even Kwame's like,
Kwame's a black man from Arizona. He's not going to say it either. I think we all know better, and when you know better, you do better, and that's all we can say about that.
I take lead from the people, like the owners, like that's like whoever claims whatever. I take lead. So
We're gonna move quickly through the next couple. There was after that, Justin breathed. Everybody was like, bye, Frank, you know, you reap what you sow, ta-ta, later, and he kind of soaked off the stage. And everybody's like, yay, Justin's still alive, woot-woot. And then Justin's like, oh, great, I got stuck with Sandy Bullock movies. Okay.
Which he told me until I watched last night, and he's like, I don't really know anything. And his interview about Sandra Bullock.
He was so, like, he was so funny. He's like, Miss Congeniality is my favorite.
I thought you were a Sandy B fan. I'm like, okay, he's got this.
Yep. Until he didn't. But we didn't find out until a little later. Then we get Jackie and Demetrius. That was cute. you know, that was a tough one because they're both really likable people. But, you know, poor Jackie, I think she only got two right. I think she passed on everything but Chucky and, oh, I can't remember. There's one other one she got right. The rest of it was pass. And we had a few like that on my season too, where the person just drew the, you know, the unlucky category and passed a lot. So she unfortunately lost, but she seemed like she was a nice person.
Wait, are we talking about villains category?
Yes.
Did she even? Okay, hold on. I gotta talk about her. Did she even know she was on the floor? She might be a nice lady, but I feel like she was like, I'm gonna do villains, and she said it with all the confidence, Kwame. Of if I know I'm an expert, and then she went in there and she's like, I don't know, pass. I don't know, pass. And I'm like,
but
is she?
What
even
I have
on the
to
floor?
Say about her is she was consistent from the minute she got there to the minute she was dueling. Like she didn't. She liked what she liked, and she knew what she knew, and that was it. You couldn't tell her nothing.
You're right, Kwame.
That's what I'm hearing.
She was there for the experience. Like, she's a sweet lady.
Was she really doing yoga by herself on the floor? Like, or was that a shot scene? Because, I mean, the last time we saw something like that, that was Angie crying because of she had to take out, what's his name?
Andrew.
Andrew, who wrongly accused of Angie and Andrew having an attraction for each other. Like, what was that scene, Kwame? Were they like, can you do yoga so we can film this? Was that legit? I'm curious.
I think some people, that's her character. Like, she likes to zen out. Like, she is very peaceful, mellow. And I saw some other people had snaps from the floor. So I think, like, Squeaky Wheel got oil. Like, if you asked and the floor was empty, they would let you, go do your thing, whatever you needed to zen out. There was one guy who ended up having to medically be discharged from the show at the last minute. My boy Benny. And he needed like some special circumstances too, and because he was real anxious. So I think they made accommodations for people that had their routine to help settle them.
That's good to hear. I don't remember that happening with us. So I think they're learning as they go, like any good production team. I mean, they're fantastic. The production team are just a lot of really good, lovely
humans. Amazing.
So it's nice to know that they're doing that, which is really, really cool. I think Mike's being nice. He says, to be fair, I've said this a couple times, Karen Chen is a U.S. gold medal winning figure skater who looks slightly similar. Fair. It is still Chen and not Chin, and I'm just going to point that out. But it's okay. Mike's being really diplomatic. That's one of the reasons we like him so much. And I'm here just
to say,
he's
way more diplomatic than me.
Yeah, he is. But I know what that's like, and we're going to get to... To Kwame, you had a similar incident, not quite as bad, but it was kind of a hoot with your Geronimo guest, which made me giggle. We'll get there shortly. That's toward the end. But before we do, let's get through a couple more. I think we had a lot of passing in the villains duel. Then we went back to the floor, as they do. And Ricky is randomized. The dentist, I think, from Alaska, if I remember, and he challenged Sybil in celebrity couples or famous couples, which was
a
category.
That's the girl. Yes.
Yeah, which I loved that category. I think it's a great idea. I think what's interesting, and this is something I want to mention. I did lurk. I'm a longtime lurker, seldom poster on Reddit, and I did lurk a little bit today. Because I understood what had happened. This also happened in Hall of Fame, which is when Frank said Leah Ham, and people were all up in arms because they should have given it to him. And I remember even from our season that if you say the last name, you know, it's going to be fine. But if you opt to say the first and last names and you get the first wrong, yeah, it's wrong. It's an X. So that's what happened.
I hate that rule. I hate it. But I get it. If I say Tangy... and not Angie.
Right.
That's not your name. But I feel like you should be able to say both names or no names. You shouldn't be able to go Pitt, Brad Pitt.
That's how that works. And I think that when if more people knew that, they'd be less frustrated, but they can't, I guess, tell the home audience all the rules. But when you got to famous couples, I found it really interesting because I would think they're, like you said, there are people like Jackie who are there for the experience. I doubt she trained. I doubt she studied. I doubt she cared much about dominating the game and knowing everything. And she was just there for a good time, which I think's great. You know, she can do it her way. I was a studier. I still am a studier. And to me, it's about speed and recall. And so what I found interesting is with famous couples, I would have never gone for both first and last names of both members of the couple because it's such a time suck. So I thought that was interesting that they were going back and forth and at times were not saying just surnames. Were you all, did you hear the rules for that? Were they allowed to just say surnames for that category? Do you even remember? I don't know what the rules
were. I didn't hear specifically what they said for that. At least for the Hall of Famers category, the producers came up to us and told me and Frank, they were like, hey, the smart strategy is to just say the last name, because if you say the first name and get it wrong, you have to say the right first name to get it right. And the only reason that I wasn't just saying the last name was because in my head, I was processing it as the first and last name. So it was taking me more time to try to eliminate the first name and just say the last name and get it out. So I'm curious if that was what was happening with the famous couples, but it was crazy having to say both names for both partners. Like,
yeah,
it ended up being 3 or 4 seconds per answer versus 1 second.
Yes, 100%. And I agree with you, you're kind of self-editing. And in that moment, it's more work to edit than it is to blurt out your reaction. But I think for 100%. Ricky, he got caught up because he said Emily Blunt, you know, Emma Blunt instead of Emily Blunt.
And he could have said Blunt Krasinski.
Blunt Krasinski, and he would have been fine.
He would have been good.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know some of those. I don't. Who is this ASAP Rocky? I don't even know who that person is. Like, I have no idea. I'm like, I must be old as dirt because I don't know this person.
Yeah, but you're not a relic, Brad.
And she's a relic.
Yeah, you're not a relic. You may be old as dirt, but you're not relic status. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. I feel bad for saying you're a relic. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm 52, man. I've earned every one of them years, and I'm just going to keep them rolling. All right, then we get back to Justin. We're so happy to be back with Justin. Then we randomize again, and Luke. Luke, who was just a – he's such a quirky little fellow. I think I would have enjoyed hanging out with him, but he's like, I'm as nervous as a worm in a hallway full of hooks. And I'm like, it even took me a minute. And Rob, of course, cut away going, okay, I think I get it. But what's with this, like, folksy old-timer sitting on the porch?
No, you know what's so funny is he was practicing all of those lines leading up to everything. He's like, I've got so many different things I'm going to say. And just had like, a Rolodex of different sayings to drop. I was like, I love that for you, dude.
But yeah, you know, you do you. And it was great that made the cut. I guess we'll see. Maybe he'll drop a few more lines of old-timey wisdom. It's like something you'd hear the guy say at Cracker Barrel when you go to check in for like the Friday night fish fry. You know, I'm nervous like a worm in a hall of hooks. I'm like, dude, it was just a funny line. But, you know, we're talking about it. So I guess that says something. It was good. So, Justin, how did you is there any one of those Sandy Bullock movies that haunts you to this day? Like, did you go home and start watching them? Have you boycotted them? Tell me how that feels.
I am on a boycott right now. No Sandy Bullock movies in my house, at least for the next year. The one that haunts me is – so I knew I only knew about like 8 or 9 of her movies. And so I was like, my only chance is that I get every single one of those on my side and he gets all the ones I don't know. And then once he started getting like – The Blind Side, and I don't even remember what other, and Miss Congeniality. I was like, my odds are going down and down. But I missed Heat with Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy, yeah.
I don't know that one, but when I did that, I heard the entire floor just go, ooh. And that's when I knew my odds dropped from 3% all the way down to 0% at that point. When they groaned for me, I had no chance.
Oh, well, that's hard.
That would be the one.
Well, that's okay. Heidi, who from Survivor comes on here, she knows me. I love movies and any pop culture. So before you went up there, I'm looking at my wife and my son. I'm like, Blindside's going to be on there. I start naming out what I said, Demolition Man. You missed Demolition Man.
Yeah, never
but
heard
that's before
movie.
Your time. That's before your time. In all fairness, you weren't born in 93, probably. You weren't, were you?
That is true.
Yeah, so you didn't have a shot on that. I knew she was in that movie. You knew. I was like, man, I think I could do this. But there was a couple that caught me that I was like, oh, I don't remember that. I never saw Gravity, so I would not have known that.
Oh, that's
no, she has a few deep cuts that I was like, wow, I didn't realize how many she was actually in.
You knew Speed, right? You knew Speed.
I knew Speed. I got Speed.
Speed was good. I think fun fact about Gravity, if I'm not mistaken, each of the main characters in that film filmed separately in like different studios, and like all of their dialogue was remote. It wasn't even like in real time because they're separated.
Really? No kidding.
In space and stuff. Anyway,
Time to Kill? Did you know A Time to Kill?
I did get that one. Okay, that was on my list of the 8 or 9 that I knew.
Okay, good. I saw that.
Good
in the
man.
Theaters.
Good man. Well, you were charming. You were nice. You captured people. We like you. We want to see you back. You're welcome on this show again, of course. And it was really sad to see you go. And then
thank you so
much. 40K, right? As soon as Johnny, Mr. I'm the Villain, Fair Play, got chosen, we knew that Luke had won the money. He had a moment of getting excited. Mm-hmm. And then Kwame, tell us, how did it feel for Johnny to pick you?
I mean, like, being purely objective, it makes sense going that way to the money. Like, it makes sense. I thought for a second he was going the other way, how he was talking about being in real estate. And what kills me is right before the episode aired yesterday, is he sends me a picture with his mom, and he had a stamp collection since he was 6 years old. And so wow. I'm like, this is a setup. Like, this is a setup. Because it was completely out of my wheelhouse. Like, I didn't even feel confident in it. I just had to play the part. So I'm now, like, okay, girl, let's do this. And so...
Were you assigned that category then? I know on our season, people had been assigned categories that they didn't necessarily pitch. And I think most people understand that happens sometimes. Is that what happened with you? Did they just say, yeah, stamps?
Yes.
Oh, no.
I've went over like my discussion 100 times in my head. I'm like, how did I get here? And I still can't put that puzzle together. But
how did I get here? So tell me, what did you pitch? What were your categories in auditions?
So fitness, like knowing that, like, Justin's my guy, but like, I'm really into sports. Like him, I have two older brothers who I'm very competitive with. Because they're older, right? And so I was the smallest, like, you know, little to everyone that just tried to keep up. And now I can hold my own. So between soccer, basketball, football, we all had a couple. But I would have done like fitness, even The Simpsons. Before Marcia Georgia took over TV sitcoms, I was gonna go that route as well.
It sounded like a great category. Yeah, you know, stamps is just celebrities on small pieces of paper.
I didn't realize. I studied the wrong thing. And so when I saw the first one, it just came out knee-jerk reaction. It's not like I'm like, oh, I know what it is. It's just my body spit that answer out.
Well, I think you held your own. You held your own. You did a really good job. And just in all fairness, Geronimo is tough. That was tough. I mean, but you guessed Sacagawea, which I got to give you a minute. I mean, definitely different jawlines, different genders entirely. But the fact that you knew another Native American's name, and I was very proud of you. And I said, you know what? He's trying. He's trying his best. And I had a giggle with that. I thought that was pretty good.
That's fair.
You just ran into a couple tricky ones. I mean, you guys were neck and neck. You really were. It was a good final duel, but you ran into some. You had a pass like Rosie the Riveter and Walt Disney.
I knew she was Yes We Can, but I never knew her actual name. I didn't know she was Rosie the Riveter. Like,
that's okay. Now you do.
I will never forget it.
Now ever. You'll never forget it. Never.
Never forget it.
Never forget. Always remember. I think John, tell me how clearly they are positioning Johnny as a villain. He's, you know, self-proclaimed as such. I do like the way Rob humbled him a bit by going, how can you be in the Survivor Hall of Fame if you've never won? I think it'd be funny to get Heidi's point of view on that, Brad. We'll have to talk to her about that sometime.
Can I say I'm really excited they don't have a ton of celebrities on this season.
Not too many. They showcased, right, Bo Bice and Johnny Fairplay. Mm-hmm. Who else is on there that we might be familiar with, guys? Do you... is there anybody else?
Jacob Derwin.
Oh, he was on Survivor too, right?
Yes, he was on Survivor 36. He's on there.
Steph Dorian, winner of season 10 of MasterChef.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Wow. That's right.
But I think that might be it. I might be forgetting one person.
I mean, if so, it'd be kind of like a Bachelor contestant or a Big Brother contestant, but not like a winner or somebody that we would have seen.
I think Heidi should go on there.
I think she should. Heidi, if you're listening, you need to audition. I think ultimately we'll see if Johnny's the villain. I know they tried to paint David Madden and Brian as kind of interesting characters last season. Mm-hmm. Our season didn't really have a villain. I think that kind of started taking hold in season three.
David Madden was not a villain, though. He didn't strike me as a villain.
I don't think he was, personally, but I think they gave him a bit of a villain cut. And only in the way that everybody seemed to create a cabal of getting rid of him. Like, we've got to get...
He was so nice. I don't understand. And Brian, to me, Angie, you know how I feel about Brian? He's the greatest four player of all time. I love you. You're my favorite four player of all time. You and Claire. Megan.
Thank you.
And, you know, y'all are my favorite ones. But
Justin and Kwame.
And Justin and Kwame, of course. And Mike. But I have a lot of favorite floor players, man. Anybody that's been on our show, they're all my favorite. But Brian is amazing on there. Like, he's fun to watch. He probably, he won 160,000 last year?
Yeah. He won a lot. He won the bulk of the budget. So I'm glad. I'm glad for him. I am. I'm glad for everybody who wins and does really well.
Although he needs to come on our show. He still has never come on our show, Angie.
I know. I've been reaching
out. We'll get him on.
We'll get him. We're trying. Johnny,
I love your positivity. Thank you.
Johnny Fairplay didn't respond to me yet either. I don't know. I don't know if he will. If Kwame and Justin want to put in a good word, I don't know if he's accepted your
friendship. Should we get Heidi to reach out to him?
He responds to me.
Yes, we should. Well, he sent you the stamp collection picture. You should say, hey, my friend Angie would love to talk to you, but Kwame, I'm not going to put you in that position. I will do my own legwork. I will find the people.
No, Kwame, I'm putting you in that position. Angie may not.
Put you in that position.
I will put you in that position, Kwame. You now have a job.
Well, let me ask you guys, first episode, season 4, we're just getting ready to wrap up here. Who's your prediction of who you might think could take it all?
Ooh.
You want to go first?
I can't tell you a person, but I think it's going to be an Edge who wins it all. I think it's somebody.
Kwame has watched me talk on here, Angie.
The show before.
It's gonna be an Edge. You're right, Kwame. Kwame, you and me think a lot alike. I like you a lot, man.
You're fun. All right. Okay. Kwame thinks it'll be an Edge piece. Do you like the Edge piece on the brownie pan too, my friend? Or you like the?
I do like the crunchy part. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no, see, I'm the squishy middle kind of person. I'm rooting for a middle player to stay the course. I don't think it'll happen strategically, statistically.
I don't think a middle player will happen until they introduce your team strategy. I think that's the only way. That's the only way
Do you
want to
audition with me for the team strategy? I think
What do you give to be on your team?
Wouldn't that be good? I think we would complement each other very well.
Wait. Hold on a second, Justin. I've been hosting with Angie for a long time, and she immediately goes to you. She doesn't even think about me. Kwame, you and me are now teammates. Forget Angie.
You guys against us. I think it'd be great.
He knows Sacagawea, and I know Geronimo.
There you go.
We make a good team, because I was like, that's Geronimo.
I ain't laughing about it now.
It was awesome. It was a good moment. It was a great way to close it out. I think you both are really sweet. Just from the pieces I got. I mean, honestly, I don't know you as humans, but you seem to me to be quality guys. And I wish you'd been on longer. It would have been more fun to see your story play out longer. But, you know, everybody's got to go, and it's everybody's time when it's their time. And, you know, hopefully they'll do, like you said, a redemption or a redo or a team sport, and we all team up.
Let's go.
Something fun.
Could they do this, Justin Kwame? The final 10 goes to a jury house, and they still get to come back and try to win it. Even they have a deciding factor somehow. I like this. We put Kwame and Justin in a jury house together, and we watch them like trance.
Let us
come back for the end of the season, see if the first people out can beat the last people in.
Yeah. I like that, Justin. There's so many ways we can make this show even greater.
Yes, even greater. Right? Fox, if you're listening, you're great, but there's always room to grow. So with that being said, let's see what they do in episode
hey,
two
and
next
you know
week.
What? Nope. Angie, you know I like these two because I stayed on the whole show.
Yeah, I know. Brad sometimes ditches
well,
and I run the whole thing.
I'm honored.
So he's you've got the Brad seal of
wow.
approval.
Brad, thanks for saying that.
You know, if you're available and interested, you're always welcome to come on a Thursday night.
Oh, for
join
sure.
Join us. Tell us what you think about how the season's progressing. We'd love to have either or both of you back anytime. Thanks for taking the time tonight to join us. Take care of yourselves. Brad, you take care of yourself. And everybody watching.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah, please.
It's a mandate. Justin and Kwame, you're two of my favorite guests we've ever had on here. I want you guys to come back on at some point this season. I do not want this to be the last time I ever talk to Justin and Kwame. Yeah.
No, it cannot.
Brad, I would cry if this is our last time. I would love to come back on.
Thank you.
We're friends.
We are.
We are, man. It's Floor family for life, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Well, yeah, right?
So I'm not Floor family, but yes, I get what you're saying.
No, you're surrogate Floor family, Brad.
I'm the adopted stepchild of the Floor. Of the Relic Angie.
Yeah, that. All right, guys. Thanks again.
Thank you, guys.
Everybody download and listen tomorrow. It'll be on wherever you find your favorite podcast.
Yeah. Share it with your friends, guys.
Yeah.
Awesome. Can I get the link? DM
yeah, please? Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. See you next time on the Floor Recap.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.